Father, I thank you for all that came out to sit at your table this morning to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that this is our Jubilee Day. I thank you, Father, that you love us so desperately and so completely. I thank you for the testimony this morning, Father, especially of the soul that was saved. And Father God, we're looking forward to greater things. Those things are already past, and Father God, we're looking for greater things to come forward this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's really time that we grasp hold of the fact that God really truly does want to drop his glory, and he wants to drop it upon a people who are ready to receive it. And Brother Aaron, thank you for dancing before the Lord this morning. That got me stirred up. Amen. I even wanted to get up and dance. And you too, Sister Barbara, the two of you would just had a little bit of electricity going up here. And I hope it traveled on back to everybody back there. I don't know what was going on behind me. I just know what was going on in front of me. Maybe y'all were back there dancing too. I don't know. Anyway, but this is what God wants. He wants to restore. I'm hearing him say he wants to restore dance back into his house. True dance. You know, really just ask God to just say, God, just put the fire back in my feet and let me dance before you as David danced. That just, every time I think about dance, I think about David, and I love to watch the movie part where they have him dancing and with all of his heart and all of his might, you know. Just don't take your clothes off. Don't want to see your underwear. Amen. Nobody's going to get jealous if you dance. I'm just going to be thankful and grateful that you are dancing and you are rejoicing before the Lord. There's a whole lot going on out there in the world, but God has a whole lot more going on in the heavenly realm. And he truly is getting ready to have one of the biggest glory drops we've ever seen. God told me it was going to be in the fall, so for 4 years every fall I've been waiting for it and hadn't happened. So I'm really believing it's going to be this fall because of everything that he's been speaking. And I was sitting out at my desk at 4 o'clock this morning getting this evening's message together, and at 5 o'clock all I could do was cry. I just cried, and I cried for a half hour, and I don't know why I was crying. But you know, whatever it was, God was doing something. And that's what I'm getting at here, is we just don't know what God is doing in the heavenly realm. Even yesterday I was sitting and I was studying, and a little Isaiah came in. He said, Mom, something just happened to me out there. I said, what happened, honey? He said, I don't know. Something came over me in my eyes. Something happened in my eyes, and I see differently. And I said, what do you see, sweetie? He said, I don't know. I'm just coming to tell you. I said, well, do you think Jesus dropped on you? He said, the angels did too. And then somebody, when everybody's getting supper, you know, everybody wasn't sitting down yet. And all of a sudden he started praying over the food. And then we went upstairs and all he talked about was Jesus. So something happened to him yesterday. I don't know what, but something happened to him. And all I can talk about now is going to church and seeing Jesus. You know, it's just awesome what God is. What I'm saying is to even to little kids. So if I was your parents, I'd just keep believing that. But really, truly, if I was each one of you, I would just be expecting something wonderful every second of every day. You know, the expectant ones will receive. So I really expect God to just do great and wonderful things. And I'm excited about him saying about our finances and everything this morning. I don't know about you, but I stepped into that realm. I know you all were walking it out, and I just know that you're going to receive because God said so. And God, even as you were walking, God was saying to me, so I want to give them more understanding of what I'm doing with them right now. So you need to seek God's face and say, God, give me more understanding of what you did to me Sunday morning. Just ask him and see what he says to you. You know, we have not because we ask not. And God wants us to start talking to him. He wants us to start asking what's going on in our lives and around about us, because he is really desirous, and I'm hearing, this is what I'm hearing, to tell you of all things. He wants to reveal all things to you. So please don't be set and befuddled. Talk to God about things and see what he has to say. So anyhow, he wants to talk about right standing this morning. And God said, I am doing a new thing all across this land. A new thing, guys. It's a new era, new things all across this land. Healing is in my wings, and I am bringing healing to my land. hearts are broken and shattered, and I do not want my children to be wounded in any way. And as he was saying, I am doing a new thing all across this land. I just felt like he meant people. He was doing new things in people's hearts everywhere. He does not want you to stay stale and stagnant. He wants you to receive the new thing he's doing within you, and he wants you to move forward. Do not linger in the place you're standing. He wants you to move forward even right now today, starting today. God said, I want each of my children to be in right standing with me and not to constantly walk in confusion about where they are at with me. As you stand firm and as you stand fast, the enemy will not be able to move you off course ever again. Let's read that again. I want each of my children to be in right standing with me and not to constantly walk in confusion about where they are at with me. In other words, you say, God, are you finished with me yet? That's about an everyday prayer. God, are you really going to use me? God, he wants us to get out of that mode, and he wants us to know that we know that we know exactly what God is doing with us, with our lives. Then he says, as you stand firm and as you stand fast, in other words, I'm not going to ask you, God, are you finished with me? Or God, what are you going to do with me? I'm just going to know that I know that you've called me and you've anointed me and there's a special task you want me to do. And I'm just going to let you go ahead and move in me and do what you want to do. When you get to that place, the enemy's going to leave you alone because now he can't bring confusion into your life. And that confusion has been there in the body of Christ for a couple of years now, and God wants to remove that confusion from all of our minds. He wants us to stand fast and stand firm and not be yanked and jerked around by the enemy ever again. So I looked up right standing, and right standing with God is simply righteousness. That's all it is. Righteousness is a condition of being in right relationship with the Lord. This can only happen through total faith and dependence upon Christ. Now, God says sanctification is where it is all at. Sanctification will bring you to new heights in me and cause you to inherit all the blessings of heaven. Sanctification will cause you to have a true love affair with your Father in heaven. Now, I looked up sanctification. Sanctification is being made or becoming holy. So what's he been trying to tell us to do? He's been telling us he wants us to be a holy people. Sanctification is the work of God in us, the things God's been doing in us to clean us up. Sanctification is a state of separation unto God. In other words, you're no longer part of the world. You belong to God 100%. So sanctification is a state of separation unto God. All believers enter into this state when they are born of God. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Sanctification means intense concentration on God's point of view. Intense concentration on God's point of view. It means every power of body, soul, and spirit is chained and kept for God's purpose only. It will cause an intense narrowing of all our interest on earth and an immense broadening of all our interest in God. In other words, you won't ever think about what's going on. You won't ever think about the worldly things ever again. All you will do now is concentrate on what God is doing in you and around you and through you. All you'll be doing is concentrate on what God is wanting you to do. Not what you want to do, not what I want you to do, not what the world wants you to do, but what God wants you to do. Too many Christians have their eyes on people, and they're always wanting to know what people want them to do. They're people pleasers. We cannot be people pleasers. We have to please the Father and only the Father. And if you're truly, you know, it's truly ingrained in God, you're going to hear God's voice, and he's going to tell you exactly what he wants you to do. Exactly. And see, this is how it is when you're really, really into God, really, I'm hearing grooving God. You know, He's going to talk to you about anything and everything at any given time, because you and he have an open communication, and you've said to God, whatever you want to talk about, I'm willing to talk with you about. Whatever you want to share with me, I'm willing to listen. And just let him do that. You don't know when he's going to share something with you that you can give to somebody that's really going to encourage and uplift them. Somebody might be really super down, and you don't even know that, because they're putting on a pretty face, or putting on a happy face, putting on the joy of the Lord, which we're supposed to do. But inside, even though they have that joy, inside still that thing, you know, that's weighing you down. And so you aren't talking about it to anybody but to God. And so God then, he'll talk to somebody else about it, so you can go to them and you can say, this is what God told me about you, and this is what God's doing in your life. And that's going to lift that heavy burden off of them, and they're going to be free to go forth and do with the things that I'm hearing God say, accomplish the things that he's called them forth to accomplish. But see, when the enemy keeps you weighed down, you feel like, I can't do anything. You know, I just can't move forward. But when God comes on the scene and he starts ministering to you through somebody else, all that's lifted. Amen? Come on. I had that happen to me yesterday. And somebody was ministering to me yesterday, and, you know, through the email. And it really lifted that thing off of me. And I knew that there was a purpose and a plan that God had not yet revealed to me, but he will. And then I come in here this morning, and you all do what you did, and I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, God is really good. So during praise and worship, I was sitting there thanking him for a congregation who loves me, truly loves me, and shows her love to me. All right? Come on. Sanctification is a spiritual workout. And Philippians 2:12-13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, have you seen the Christian slogan, exercise daily, walk with the Lord? You know, they put them up in those little marquee thing. Exercise daily, walk with the Lord. Essentially, that is what the Apostle Paul is calling for when he requests for the Philippians to work out your own salvation. You know, a lot of people sit around and want everybody else to work out their salvation for them. They don't want to have to do any work. They don't want to have to labor for anything. They just want you to get them saved and keep them saved. And it doesn't work that way. You have to work out your own salvation. You guys in here that's called to minister the word of God, remember what God told me? All your job is to give them the word. I used to try to make people believe the word, but God said, you're laboring in vain. Just give them the word the way I tell you to give it, then let it alone. Let them do with the word whatever they want to do with it. So you cannot make them live the word. You can only give them the word. That'll save you a whole lot of work and frustration if you can get into your spirit man right now. When Paul makes a statement about work out your own salvation, he has already acknowledged that he is writing to saints, if you read the scriptures, to believers who were positionally in Christ, set apart from sin, and set apart to God. And that's, you'll find that in Philippians 1:1. Paul was talking to the church when he told him, work out your own salvation. If you look at the Bible, the ministers there were talking to the church. They were not talking to the world. Today, God is still ministering to the church, and he expects the church then to go forward and minister to the world, the lost and the dying, and bring them into the house of God, bring them to the cross. That's why you're sitting here, to learn something so you can take it forth to minister to the lost and the dying. Paul does not say to work for your own salvation, but to work out the salvation God had already given them. All right, so now you got saved. Now it's your part now to get saved totally, completely, inside out, get rid of all the garbage and all the junk and keep it out. Because we know that the devil keeps trying to throw junk back into your vessel. So it's your job to keep it out, close the door so it doesn't get in. Just falls to the ground. Scripture is clear that salvation today is all of grace through faith. You're saved through grace by faith, not of works. I go out and I feed the hungry and I give money. Not, that's works. It's not works that you're saved. You're saved by grace through faith. And you find that in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Salvation must first be worked out in, salvation must first be worked in before it can be worked out. The Philippians are instructed here by Paul to work out, to put into practice in their daily experience what God had wrought in them by His Spirit. You know, we want God to forgive us. We want God to show us grace when we mess up and mercy. But I have noticed that people don't want to show the same to somebody else. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, you know, I'm not free of sin, so I'm not going to judge somebody else. The Bible tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. And so I'm not going to sit here and judge somebody else. And that person said, you know, I'm not sinless either. And I've been partaker of judging someone, and I'm not going to judge them any longer. And I said, well, the word says, judge not lest ye be judged. In the same manner that you judge somebody else, God's going to judge you. So what do you want God to do with you? You know, people are throwing hate at this person, hate. And, you know, and it's killing the person. And I said, you're killing their soul. I said, you need to stop hating and judging. Look inward at your own self and see what's inside of you. And God always tells us, never forget from whence you came. At one time you were a sinner too before you got saved by grace. At one time you weren't where you're at today in your walk with God, right? And you, a lot of things you did out of ignorance according to the Word of God. And so give somebody else the same grace. Give them the same fortitude. Allow them space to grieve over their own sins. And while they're grieving over their own sins, pour love into them. Pour love into them. Don't sit by and tell them what a nasty sinner they are. They already know that, and that's why they're grieving. They know what they've done, and they can't forgive themselves. They can't love themselves. And if you keep pouring hate into them, they'll never learn to love themselves. Never. Never, never, never. And the Word of God's been telling us for years now to love the unlovable, hasn't He? And the body of Christ has not yet learned the full truth of loving the unlovable. We want them to be totally, completely perfect, and then we'll love you. Well, you're not totally, completely perfect, and you want God to love you, but is He going to? Because if you can't do it to somebody else, then God's not going to do it to you. Church, we need to be a church of love and of peace. And if we're a holy people, a righteous people, we'll be a church of love and of peace. And God won't have to keep instructing us on how to walk. He won't have to keep telling us on how to love. We should already have that so rooted and ingrained within us that God should never have to talk about it ever again. That He can move on to something else, because our foundation, if it's not a foundation of love, then we have absolutely, positively nothing. And you guys that are ministers of the gospel, you're going to find out the devil's going to come at your love walk over and over and over again, because he knows if he can take your love walk, he has your foundation, and you have no power and no authority. It's hard sometimes to love the unlovable, and I'm not going to say it's hard. And God knew it was going to be hard, but He still commanded us to do it, didn't He? And so if He knows it's hard, and if He's commanded us to do it, then we are able to do that thing, because He never asks us to do anything we can't do. Look how Jesus had to love the unlovable. Look how He encouraged the people. Look how He went to the cross. Are you willing to die for somebody? That's something you have to ask yourself. Do you have so much love in you that you're willing to die for someone that has come against you? And you know, and I don't mean physically in the grave die. I mean just die to your flesh and pour love into them. And show them the love of Christ. Show them Jesus Christ. We're going to have to die to ourselves totally and completely in these last days, more so than ever, because the world out there is messed up. And you're going to have to minister to some really messed up people. They're going to say and do things you're not going to like. But are you like Jesus, or are you just still yourself? Let's ask ourselves this question. Am I still myself, or am I like Jesus, and what they do to me or say to me is not going to bother me at all? Because God has given me power and authority over that. And if He's asked me to love the unlovable, then He's given me the equipment I need to love the unlovable. All right? I don't know where I'm at. When we trust the all-sufficient provision made for us by Christ's death and resurrection, salvation is worked in by the Spirit. You find that in Titus 3:5. When we trust the all-sufficient provision made for us by Christ, by Jesus' death and resurrection, salvation is worked in by the Spirit. Jesus saved us, not because of righteous things we had done. Now listen to this, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And salvation is worked out by the Spirit through our faith and obedience to God's Word. And you find that in Romans 8:1, which says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God wants to bless us totally and completely, 100%. And He's saying His Son died for you so that you could be blessed and not cursed. And God's saying a new wind is starting to blow across the land. And in that wind is resurrection power. And my love is in that resurrection power. And I am giving you all power and all authority to minister to a lost and dying world. The enemy's already done his job. And now it's your turn to undo what the enemy has done and bring those lost and broken people to the feet of the cross and allow the blood of my Son to cleanse them and bring them into total righteousness. I am the peace, and I am the everlasting Father, and I have not asked you to do something that my Son would not do. I've asked you to cover those who are lost and dying with prayer and supplications. I've asked you to die out to yourself daily, totally and completely, to bring in the lost and the dying. My apostles in the Word died for the people. They didn't cry and they didn't moan because they were sitting in prisons. They praised me and they prayed for the people. Will you not do the same thing this day? Will you not get in right standing with me? Hold my hand and allow me to lead you by the still water so you can save the souls that are going into the pit every day. I'm not asking you to do anything my Son Jesus didn't do. He went to Calvary so you could be saved. He went to Calvary so you could be chosen and resurrected into my power and authority to minister the gospel to a lost and dying generation. God's saying, think it not a strange thing of what I'm speaking to you this day. I want you so desperately to be part of me and my kingdom. And I am speaking to you this hour, telling you how much I love you and adore you and how much I weep over you when you don't receive all of me all of the time. I am not a part-time father. I'm a full-time father, and I want you to be a full-time child of God. And I want you to seek my face daily. And God's saying, come up hither into my arms. Abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Don't look at yesterday. Look at where you're at this very second with me. You're in a secure place with me. You're in my arms. And I'm holding you very tight. And I so desperately need you to bring others into this secure place with you. Your family members are looking at you. They're counting on you. And even though they say all manner of evil, they are counting on you to stay the course until they come home also. Strange things are going to be happening all across this land in my houses. Many, many children of God will leave me, but many, many will come back into the house. The world is hungry for righteousness. And I'm calling my church this day to stay in right standing with me so they have something they can hold on to until they know me as you know me. Your lives are all going to change over the next couple months. Your lives will not be the same. Because I am now taking you down the path that I have set before your feet for this new era. And you shall do great and mighty works for me. The enemy is trying to stop you. Stop you dead in your tracks. But I, the Lord thy God, I've come this day to say to you, nothing can stop you except you. Nothing, absolutely nothing can drown you except you. Take my hand today. Make a pledge to me that you will follow me all the days of your life and that you will sell out and all you are interested in is souls. For souls is what I'm after. Lost and dying souls. Souls that some have never heard about me. Will you die out to yourself? Allow me to be the author and finisher of your life. Not circumstances, not friends or family, but allow me to be the author and finisher of your life. Not your own desires, but me. I am the way and the truth and the life, and I am eternal. Working out your salvation is about living the way you were saved. By grace through faith in Christ, you find that in Colossians 2:6. Salvation is found in Jesus. Christ is our salvation. At the moment of trusting Him alone for our salvation, Christ's life is inworked in us. When you finally, totally, completely believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then His life is worked in us. And we become brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. And Paul says in Colossians 1:27 that all who have trusted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you truly, truly, truly trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, then He lives in you. And God said He abides in you forever. He doesn't get up and leave. You have to be the one to forsake Him. You have to be the one to cast Him out. He is eternal and He's holding onto your hand and He's leading and guiding you and telling you to keep on going down that road of salvation and don't get off course. After salvation from sin's penalty, God desires Christ's life to be outworked, particularly in our lives, so others see His life in our life. In other words, once you're saved, they shouldn't see the same old Aaron. They should see a brand new Aaron and a brand new Aaron walking with God and doing and being totally and completely different than you were before you were saved. That's the outworking of God. It's what you have inside that's coming out, and this is what you're showing to people. Or this is what people should see, is what I should have said. And as we do this through the Spirit's power, by the Word, and in faith, we work out our own salvation, and our lives will exhibit Christ-like attributes. And you see that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I says, as we have the outworking of God, then as we do this through the Spirit's power, by the Word, and in faith, we work out our own salvation, and our lives will exhibit Christ-like attributes. People who say once saved, always saved, that is not gospel. That is not gospel, because God tells us to work out our own salvation daily. To work out our salvation is also to live in victory over sin. See that? To work out our salvation is also to live in victory over sin in our daily lives. Experiencing salvation over sin's power by God's resurrection power within, living righteously in the life and freedom we have in Christ, you find that in Romans 6, 1 through 13. So I said, to work out our salvation is also to live in victory over sin in our daily lives. Experiencing salvation over sin's power by God's resurrection power within, and living righteously in the life and freedom we have in Christ. Remember years ago, I was prophesying to a young lady, my praise and worship leader, and God said, wide is the path. And I thought, no, that's not true. The Word of God says, narrow is the path. And I questioned God about that. And I sat down with her and I said, that's not true. And she said, yes, it was. And then God spoke to me personally and said that once you're saved and sanctified and really walking with God, then you have all freedom because you aren't going to sin no more. You won't have any desire to sin, so wide is the path. But narrow it is until you get into that place in God where you're totally righteous and you're totally holy, and you don't desire to sin. You don't want to hurt the Father anymore. And lo and behold, about 3 weeks ago, I read an article about that. And it was by a prophet. And they said, wide is the road once you are saved, you know, really saved. And so it took quite a few years, 40, but somebody else wrote about it. All right. All right. In verse 12 in Romans 6, in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, shows us there is human responsibility to our Christian lives as we are told to work. Effort must be put into the Christian life, effort to grow, effort to know the Word, effort to pray, effort to serve, and effort to be in fellowship with others. We all know that this just doesn't fall on us like, you know, it just doesn't fall on us like rain. We have to really work at doing some of these things. We don't really want to do them. We're too busy. We're too tired, you know, on and it goes. But there's an effort. You just have to make yourself do something. So I said, effort must be put into the Christian life, effort to grow. Effort to grow. Let's just say a seminar is being put on. And you really should go to it because it's teaching you something you really need to know. So it's going to take an effort for you to say, oh, I've got to get up and go down there tonight. You know? It's going to take an effort to say, well, I'm just going to drop this because this thing with God is more important than this other thing I was going to do. So I said, effort to grow. Effort to know the Word. You're going to have to make yourself sit down and read the Word or listen to it, but get into the Word. Effort to pray. How many of you know sometimes it's very hard to pray? You know, the phone rings, the kids come in, you know, any manner of stuff comes in to keep you from praying. Effort to serve. Sometimes you don't feel like serving somebody else. You want them to serve you for change. You know, it's an effort to serve sometimes. I'm being honest. And an effort to be in fellowship with others. Sometimes you just want to be left alone. You know, but yet you somebody else needs you. So you have to be, you know, it's an effort then to say, oh, I'm going to give up my one little time of being alone and I have to go and fellowship with somebody else. It's all an effort. But believe it or not, whenever you do that, take that effort and you start helping somebody else, it really is a great thing with God. You get a great, you know, you just feel peace about it. And the person that you was ministering to is ministered to properly. And God's able to move in their lives. All right. And Paul says that we are to work out our own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Somebody said to me one time, the only reason why you do this is because you have fear of the Lord. I said, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to die and go to hell. You know, I don't. They can say whatever they want to. That is why I do that, because I don't want it to die, right? And go to hell. All right, these terms show us that the outworking of our salvation must be done. In other words, all these effort things I was talking about. Realizing the seriousness of the Christian life in living before a lost and dying world. You have to be Jesus Christ to people. They aren't going to see him. They don't know him. And so as they look at you, then they see Jesus. If you're really walking with God, if you're really walking in holiness and purity and righteousness, then whenever they look at you, they see Jesus. That's it. They shouldn't see you ever. They should see Jesus. Are you listening here? How many of you can honestly sit here today and say every time somebody looks at me, they see Jesus? Well, I'm not going to say every time. Huh? When people look at me, they see Jesus. Because every now and then, some of us miss the boat, don't we? But the majority of the time when people look at you, they can truly see Jesus and know what Jesus is all about. You know, I found out how to be like Jesus. God told me, I want you to get in the Word. Read everything that's in there about my son Jesus, and then you duplicate what you just read. And I was shocked at the things Jesus had to go through, and then I had to duplicate that. But you know what? It's worth it all in order to see a soul saved. Philippians 2:15 says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. See that? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You know, when you look at the world and see how corrupt it is, and, you know, when you read all the stuff that pastors do in the dark, and God showed me that years ago, how pastors were doing things in the dark they should not be doing. These pastors got hooked into the world, and instead of giving up their pulpit, put on two faces, one for the church and one for their own self when they were home. This is not pleasing to God. What you see is what you get 24/7. Some of you know me really well. You know I can get very upset when people do the same things, dumb things over and over again. What you see is what you get. There's nothing in the closet. I don't have one face for this place and one face for another place, another face for another place. I am who I am. I'm a child of God. And I'm working out my salvation. And I'm trying to love the unlovable and still keep my right mind. Because some of you know that trying to love the unlovable sometimes can really try your mind. But because Jesus says we can do it. Right? And I was thinking this morning about how I, in my lifetime, I've never heard of a president being attacked like our president is. He can't even sneeze properly. And you know, and I pray for him constantly. Say, God, and sometimes he does things I think are a little dumb, and I say, God, please straighten out this dumb thing he just did. But still, no, he's God's man of the hour, and he needs prayer. And I hope that when you look at me and you see me doing something real dumb, you say, God, you take care of your dumb daughter down there because she just messed up. Are you understanding this? Because we're all going to come short of the glory of God. I just heard God say that. And so we all need grace. We all need grace. Because none of us are on the same level. There's different levels to our walk with God. And so we can't be judging. We have to give others grace, just like God gives us grace. I need a lot of grace sometimes. How about you? Don't we? So then why not give somebody else a lot of grace? You know, when God makes you live in a situation, and the situation is not nice, He's trying to teach you something there. It could be you need more grace to give to somebody else. It could be he's building character in you. It could be a whole lot of things, but we have to understand this totally and completely. We have to understand that every situation that God places us in is for a purpose. And what our job is to learn what the purpose is while we're in that situation, not after we get out of it. Because then whenever you get out, you look back and say, oh, I should have done this and this. God was trying to show me this and this. I missed, and to myself I say, God, I missed the mark there. Because if I'd have done this or done that, this or that, it would have been different. See, I don't know about you, but I'm honest with myself. When I miss the mark, I miss the mark. And sometimes it's quite often I miss the mark. I just don't quite understand what God's doing. I'm going to shut up because I'm getting into my night's message. But I want to tell you this morning that you need to quit looking at the person, because what you see is not what they are. You need to ask God, let me see them through your eyes so I can see what's going on inside of them, so I don't judge them wrongly or I don't abuse them. All right. Philippians 2:15 says in the New Living Translation, it says, so that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Philippians 2:15, so that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God. Shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. That's how we're supposed to live. Matthew 5:14-15. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a lampstand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In other words, you're not hiding your light. You're living for Jesus and everybody can see you're living for Jesus. Somebody said to me a week ago, I read somebody's Facebook and they really put really good stuff on there. But what bothers me is they don't live what they put on there. And therefore, it's not as good to me as what it would be if I knew that person was really living what they're putting on their Facebook. So that should tell you all something in here. If you're putting stuff on the Facebook, people know you. And are you putting something on there you're not living? Remember what God said about this pulpit. If you aren't going to live what you're preaching, then don't preach it. If you're going to preach the gospel, then live it. Be an example for those round about you. Don't preach something you're not willing yourself to live. In Matthew 5:45 says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We are supposed to live like God tells us to live, and we're supposed to let our light shine so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. You profess to be a child of God, but how are you living? Are you living what you profess? Come on. If you stand up here and preach love and peace, and you in your everyday life are a wild person, people aren't going to believe you. Because they're going to want to see you live what you're preaching. All right, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, and God would have us shine brightly and boldly for him as lights in the world. Church, I hope and I pray that you are this. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, and God would have us shine brightly and boldly for him as lights in the world. I hope that when you leave this house, that you are a light to a dark, dark world. And I don't care how much people around about you are spewing out hate and discord, backbiting, you do not partake of that. You are who you are, a child of God with a light that's trying to break up the darkness in a dark, dark world. But are you? See, we have to ask ourselves, am I really a light that shines so bright that the darkness can't stand the light? Are you understanding this? Working out our own salvation with fear and trembling also reminds us of our own weakness and inability to live the Christian life in our own strength. I cannot do what I do without the strength of God, right? And He doesn't expect us to. He calls us to walk a certain way, and then He promises us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our strength. He is our guiding light, and we have to lean upon Him. We should rightly fear and distrust our own ability to meet God's will and instruction. We should rightly fear and distrust our own ability to meet God's will and instruction. Our own ability, we can't. I tell God, God, if without you, I can't do this thing you're asking me to do. And sometimes I'll say, God, I need more of you to finish this. Because this thing keeps getting harder and harder and harder. And that's all further I'm going to go, because I'll get into tonight's message. But I tell God, God, I can't do this at all on my own. You are going to have to show up right now and reinforce me with your strength and your power. I'm honest with God. I don't try to make him. He knows that I'm not, you know, made of granite. He knows I'm flesh and blood, and He knows that I can only take so much. But He also knows me. He knows I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to say, Father, I need more of you today. I need your strength. I need power, because right now I'm weak and I'm drained. Because, you know, the devil pulls on you, doesn't he, from all directions. And he keeps you so busy that you don't really pray, like take time to pray like you ought, like Jesus did. Next thing you know, you're drained. And you find out you need to go to the Father real quick and get reinforced. We need to humbly trust in God and not in ourselves to live godly lives. And by His power, we work out our own salvation and can show Christ's life in us. Paul is talking about the believer's practical daily sanctification here, and he shows both the believer's responsibility and God's role in it. Verse 12 could not be carried out without the reality of verse 13. We could never work out our own salvation and grow and mature to be more like Christ without God working in us. Some of you that are really sanctified and sold out to God, do you ever just sit at your desk and go, oh, God, do something with this person? You know? God, I can't deal with this person. What is their problem? Are you understanding this? That's human nature to do that. You know, if you're really sold out to God and you're dealing with people, and after a bit, you just have to sit and shake your head and just say, God, come into this situation. The other day, my boys were being really bad, and I said, in the name of Jesus, devil, get out of my study. And Isaiah said, does that mean me? I said, if you have the devil, get out. He said, I'm leaving for a little bit, and I'll be back. Because then he come back, and he said, I'm really sorry I was being bad. I'd taken as much as I could, and I told the devil to get out. So he knew he had the devil in him, so he laughed. Yeah, I laughed too, but I don't have to laugh or he can see me. All right, I said, we could never work out our own salvation and grow and mature to be more like Christ without God working in us. God does not ask of us what we can't do, and He Himself is our provision. So if you really find yourself doing something you can't do, then God didn't ask you to do it to begin with. Or you're trying to do it all in your own strength instead of relying on God to help you. The Christian life is a process of ins and outs. God works in and we work out. God works in us, then whatever He works in us, we put out. As God works in us and we grow spiritually in Him, in His word, in prayer, we then work out His life in light, serving Him and others. God really wants to emphasize that you people in here today, because He's called you to be minister of the gospel, that you need to change. You need to be in right standing with God. You need to be just like Jesus in order to endure the trials and the temptations that are going to come even worse than they are right now. Because God said we're going to have gross darkness all around us. And if you aren't secure in Him, and if you don't have right standing with Him right now, if you aren't walking in sanctification, then you are not going to make it. God is really emphasizing the fact that we need to get closer to God today than we were yesterday. And then we need to stay close to God today so that then we go into tomorrow, then we get even closer to God. And see, people are not doing that. And that's why you're seeing churches close. You know, ministers falling, churches close, people leaving churches. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, the word of God effectually worketh in you that believe. You have to believe. And then if you have to be a believer, then if you're a believer, then the word of God works in you. God works in us by his word and changes our will and desires as we grow and apply it. Our minds, attitudes, priorities, worldview, and understanding of life are transformed by the word of God. You have to get into the word of God. You have to know the word. Have you ever felt just drained and you just think, I just need to go and get into the word. I need to read something. I said, God, I need to read something in your word. And he'll always give me a scripture to read. I said, I really need a transfusion is what I tell him. Your word has, I must have it in me right now in order to do the thing that you're calling me to do right now. If you're not honest with yourself between you and God, then you're never going to make it. God already knows what state you're in, but he wants you to tell him what state you're in. And like he said to me the other day about somebody, he said they finally untied my hands and now I can bless them the way I wanted to. But they finally admitted, hey, you know, I had a problem. And even though y'all told me I didn't believe you. And now, for some reason or other, got the great revelation of what we were telling them was true. And they repented, and now God's able to bless them. I'm anxious. No, I'm not anxious. I'm waiting now to see how God's going to bless them. How many of you are like that? Maybe somebody's been trying to tell you something's wrong with you, and, oh, no, that's not wrong with me. I'm not this. I'm not that. And all of a sudden, the bell goes off, you know, and the fire trucks come, and all of a sudden your light bulbs all start flashing. You realize, oh, what they were saying is true. And then you have great revelation that I did have a problem, or I do have a problem, and I've been fooling myself all this time. This person's been doing for years. And finally, God got a hold of them, and now they're free. All right, through the word of God, we learn to see the world through his eyes and fill with his heart. As God works in us by the word, his will, which is his will, becomes ours, and we will seek to do things of his good pleasure. And that's Philippians 2:13. And to will and to do of God's good pleasure is about looking, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that's in Philippians 2:4. In other words, you don't look to please yourself. You look to work for with other people and for other people, because that's what God's called us to do. And Philippians 2:5-8, God's will and desire is for us to put the needs of others first. The needs of others first in love, like Christ did for us at the cross. Too many people are constantly thinking about what God is going to do for them, with them, through them. You need to stop that, and you need to think, God, what can I do for someone else? Who out there needs me, you know, that you want me to minister to? Not always kind of say, God, what are you doing with me? God, is this me? God, is this you? It's all, you're working on yourself. You need to start working on others, what their needs are. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul writes, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or thinking. Paul says that the unlimited power by which Almighty God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask in prayer is the same power that works in us. Paul was speaking. He was God's chosen apostle. That same power worked in Paul is working in us. The same power worked in Paul worked in Jesus. And it's working in us. So there is no limit to what God can do in and through you and me. You are tying God's hands because you will not get in right standing with God. And all you're concentrating on me. And you have to be concentrating on souls. You have to be concentrating on what God is, how God wants to use you to minister to these people. As God works in us, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think or could ever conceive or possibly imagine through you and me. I'm telling you, I've lived this, saints. If you get your eyes off of you, you know, and what God is doing with you, and you go to God and say, God, show me who you want to use me to minister to today. Or me being a pastor, I'll say, God, please move in the church today. You know who's going to be there. You touch the lives that need to be touched. You do the thing that needs to be done. Not empower me with your anointing. I don't do that. God, you know what's going to happen in the church. So I'm asking your Holy Spirit to come and minister to the people. Please send the angels into the church. Whatever the people have need of, Father God, meet that need. Not meet my need. I could say, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. You know, but I don't do that. What do the people need? Are you listening? God said, He's saying we transgress too much back into our own selves. And we don't move forward enough into what God is calling us forth to do. And then God said at the end, come unto me, little ones, and receive me in my fullness. Right standing. Sanctification. Righteousness, holiness. Is where God is trying to take us to today. And when He says, come unto me, little ones, and receive me in my fullness, you do not know the fullness of God. I don't know the fullness of God. I think I do, and then lo and behold, I know I don't. I'll never know the fullness of God, never. So what do? I just work toward that goal of knowing the fullness of God. I just work toward the goal of being righteous in Christ Jesus. And having Him do the things that He so desires to do. Not for me, but for the world. The world needs you. Do you understand that? God is trying to get you geared up to send you out there to minister to a lost and dying world. I look around and you people go where I'll never go. And so He has to use you to go out there and minister to those people. Will you please just die out to yourself today and allow God to use you in His fullness? What did He say? Come unto me, little ones, and receive me in my fullness. God wants to give you the fullness of Him this morning. And if you want that fullness, so you can go out there and do the works for God, not thinking about what's good for you, but what He wants to use you for. All right, so Paul and Silas sat in prison. They didn't say, God, set me free. They didn't do that. They wrote letters to encourage the church. They said, don't look at us in the situation we're in, but keep your eyes upon Jesus. And they praise God and they worship God. They never once thought about themselves. How about you? Do you have to die out? The altar's open. Do you have to die out to God this morning more than you did yesterday or even in your prayer closet this morning in order to have the fullness of God? Church, let's be the church that God meant us to be. Let's be hospitals. Let's be doctors. Let's be nurses. Let's heal. Help God heal the land. Let Him use us to go out there with healing in our wings. That's what He desires to do. And you guys that are called to be ministers in this hour, I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to send you to ministers that have been in pulpits for 40 years, and He's going to have you say, thus saith the Lord, and He's going to have you tell them of their sins, because God needs the preachers straightened out. He needs them cleansed and renewed.